Hi, my name is Emily Chadbourne, and welcome to Unashamedly Human, the podcast, where we explore how we can better understand our thoughts, feelings, and actions, change our results, and feel less alone as we navigate that crazy thing called life. This show is sponsored by absolutely bloody nobody because, well, no one is willing to pay me for this shit yet. But I am a huge believer in supporting other small businesses that I love and fellow entrepreneurs who, like me, are trying to make the world a better place. So if you hear me recommend or promote other coaches, products or services, please know that it's not an ad. I just want to share the love. Also, though, if you did want to sponsor me, I would completely be okay with that. So you could email me at info@emilychadbourne.com. Do Chanel sponsor podcasts?
Hello and welcome to Unashamedly Human, the podcast. This is episode 14. I am your host, Emily Chadbourne, and I am recording this in my sister's spare bedroom, surrounded by piles and piles of clothing, and I am preparing to head back to Melbourne after spending 5 weeks here in the UK. I've just come back from a run and then did a yoga session with my sister, and so I stink, so you are lucky that you can't smell me. But this idea for this podcast kind of came to me as I was mid-flow in a yoga pose, and so I wanted to get it out before it eventually evaporated out of my brain, as quite often happens. My sister asked me this morning what I was going to miss about England, and obviously my first response was my beautiful, wonderful, gorgeous family and the chocolate and the crisps, because confectionery in Britain kicks confectionery in Australia's arse. And lots of things. Like, I love Britain for so many wonderful reasons. But one of the things I'm not going to miss is the tomfuckery that seems to be going on around Brexit. What the fuck is that shit about? How it happened in the first place is completely and totally and utterly beyond me. But I was reading an article in The Guardian just yesterday, which is by Polly Toynbee. I hope I've said that right. As we all know, not very good with phonics or sounding out words, me. So Polly Toynbee, that's what I'm going to call her. And the piece is called The Anti-EU Lies That Are Back to Exploit Britain's Weak Spot Again. Now look, I'm not particularly educated in Brexit. I have got no fucking idea what's going on. I actually don't even think the people who are educated about Brexit know what the fuck is going on, which is a worry. But what I do know to be true is that there is so much fake news out there about it. And in the wonderful world of the internet these days, it's really easy to get wrapped up with fake news. And I think I've probably fallen victim to it myself in the past. You know, you read something on the internet and you're like, well, it's on the internet, it's got to be true. Okay. And it's a really dangerous place in that respect. And I think it's probably how Brexit happened in the first place. There's obviously all this fucking shit going on around fake news and voting and politics, especially with Donald Trump in the US at the moment. And I think it needs a little bit more attention. And I don't know how we manage it. I don't know how you discern what is fake news and what is not fake news. I mean, sometimes it's really fucking obvious. You just need to look at the source. And if it's like imadickhead.com, it's probably not particularly resourceful to be believing that shit. But, you know, it is a real issue in today's society and in the way that we share information. You know, someone's opinion doesn't make it factual. And the truth matters. Now, the truth is also really subjective. The fuckery that is Brexit at the moment is the physical manifestation of something that I want to discuss on a sort of more personal level. We don't just see fake news coming out of the internet. Fake news comes out of our heads. You know, whatever is going on with the internet is basically the product of what is going on with humanity. And if we are seeing fake news on the rise and we're seeing impressionable minds who believe what they are being fed from politicians and from the internet and from news sources and from fake news sources, but they don't know they're fake news sources, so that they think it's real. And all this kind of rumor mill that the dot-com world has produced, and really dangerous decisions are being made as a result of it. Like, mind-blowingly worrying voting is happening. Like, and this is just my personal opinion, the fucking moron that is Donald Trump being in charge of America. Can we just take a second around that? He is in charge of a whole country, not just any country, the United States of America. And equally, somehow, 51.9% of the country managed to be persuaded here in the UK to leave the EU. I mean, wow, what are we believing and what action are we taking on the other side of this fake news that is perpetuated by fear and worry and doubt and plays into people's scarcity mindset? And if we are taking this happening via the internet, if we take that and we go, okay, well, if this is like a global physical manifestation of what is happening at a macro level, what is happening on an individual level, how are we self-perpetuating fake news? And I'd really like to talk about that today, because I think for me, when I began to start questioning the stories that I was feeding myself, the fake news that I was giving myself, and really started asking myself, is this true? What evidence do I really have to support this? And if I wanted it to be a different way, how could I make that happen? What do I need to think differently? Where do I need to look at a different perspective? How can I collect different evidence and different information so that I don't make fucking dick-ass moves like leaving the EU or voting for somebody who is proven to be a misogynistic, racist asshole? How can I monitor my own self-talk, my own fake news? Because if the world is now voting politically and economically on fake news, then that has got to be because we are feeding ourselves fake news. So that's what I'd like to talk about today. And I'm going to talk about it in two halves. So the first thing I want to talk about is something that I call the toxic thought syndrome. So a toxic thought syndrome is when you basically, like I said, you feed yourself fake news. You tell yourself, this is the situation. Let me give you a like tangible example of this. So I'm going to tell you a story about when I was waiting tables. Actually, I was in ops management and I was working in London. I was in my late 20s, about 28, 29. I was an operations manager for this chain of restaurants. And every Monday we would have like a head office meeting, and finance would be there, the MD would be there, all the ops managers would be there, and you basically, like, you had to defend your figures from the restaurants that you looked after. I remember walking up this meeting one Monday, and it was quite late. It was like inching up to like 6 p.m. Everyone was tired. No one really wanted to be there. Everyone wanted to go home. And the meeting had overrun, and we were talking about a menu change, and we were talking about labour control, and oh God, like, it was, now I look back on it, really fucking boring. But as I walked out that meeting, and I'd kind of, in true Emily Stiley, had a little bit of a disagreement with the MD. I didn't agree with a certain menu change that we were making, and whatever. I've always been one to voice my opinion. We walked out of that meeting, and my head of ops and I were walking out at the same time. His name was not Dave, but for the purpose of this story, that's what we'll call him. Dave and I were walking out of this meeting. And I looked at Dave and I was like, well, that was an interesting meeting, hey. And he looked back at me and he just raised his eyebrows and walked off. And immediately my brain went to catastrophe. My brain instantly started feeding me a fake news story that Dave, my head of ops, my direct line manager, was annoyed at me because I had chosen to tell my MD that I disagreed with the move that he was making. And I went home that night with, you know, when you get that feeling in your stomach, like the worst thing is about to happen. Like you've just been told the worst piece of news in the world and you're like, oh my God. And you can't eat. You feel sick. It's actually this almost the same sort of feeling as being exceptionally excited about something. But because we interpret it as a catastrophe instead of something that's really exciting or really like awesome, we like interpret that feeling, that sweaty palm feeling, that fight, flight or freeze feeling, that like, oh my God, I think I might die feeling. We interpret it as like, this awful thing. And I went home that night and I was so worried about it. Immediately, my brain started feeding me this torrent of fake news. And I got myself so worked up about it. And then the next day I went into work. I avoided my ops manager. I didn't want to see him. By this time, I'd convinced myself that Dave was going to fire me. There was no other alternative in my world now. Without doubt, Dave is going to fire me. And I'm never going to get another job and I'm probably going to end up on the dole. And then for some reason, the government are going to decide that I don't even deserve welfare and that's it. I'm going to end up living under a bridge. This is how my life is on this Tuesday morning, the day after this meeting, where all my ops manager had done was roll his eyes at me and walked off. And so my day unfolded and all day I found myself like the feeling was just like overwhelming, overwhelming, overwhelming. And because the feeling was overwhelming, I found myself behaving like a little bit of a turd. So I went in and because I felt under threat, I then started nitpicking with the general managers that I was managing. So I walked into like three restaurants that morning that were under my supervision and just started pulling them apart. I was just a complete bitch. I was the person that I never, ever, ever wanted to be when I went into management. You know, nothing was good enough. You know, there's a tiny speck of dust over there. What do you think you're doing? This KPI isn't good enough. I need you to bring in your labour less than 2% on what you did last week. Like, utterly ridiculous. So now what I have done is I have spread that feeling of you are not good enough, you're not good enough at your job to other people. That's a nice thing to do, isn't it? That makes me feel like a big old girl, right? Right? Because the fear that I was bringing, that I had created in myself, I was now projecting onto other people. What happened that afternoon was I got called into a meeting with Dave. So now I'm like, this is it. The end has come. Dun, dun, dun. Like this is like the worst moment of my life. And I'm walking into this meeting and I sit down and Dave's like, you all right today? I was speaking to Jess from Canary Wharf and she said you were in a bit of a bad mood. What's going on? And I was like, well, and it kind of like all of this stuff came out. I just blurted out, I think you're going to fire me. I don't think I'm good at my job. And I think you're angry because I disagreed with the MD about the menu change. And Dave just sat at me and he was like, I rolled my eyes because I agree with you. I think that menu change is a completely terrible idea. I rolled my eyes in agreement with you. And this whole time I had fed myself this story that the roll of the eyes meant that I was going to be fired. Without any evidence, without any foundation, it was like my toxic thought syndrome kicking in hardcore. And it was such a lesson to me that really life is about perspective. And so many of us don't gather enough evidence. You know, we assume so much, our brain fills in the blank. And what happens is our brain needs to know what action to take. Our brain is always looking out for our survival. So our brain can't just sit there in the suspense of not knowing. It has to figure it out. It has to have a reason. It needs to know what to do next. Are we fighting? Are we flighting? Are we freezing? I don't think flighting's a word. I think I just made that up. And so our brain is like, well, now hang on. I need to have a logical reason for what has just happened. I could not possibly have just had the eye roll from Dave and gone, oh, wonder what's going on there. I'm sure I'll find out. My brain needs to know what to do with that piece of information. And this is where perspective and choice comes in. Because while you're feeding yourself fake news or this sort of toxic thought syndrome, what you are doing is you are then going out and manifesting that situation which you are so afraid of. I went out and on that Tuesday morning, I manifested being a bad boss myself. I manifested being a bad manager. I became the thing that I was scared was going to get me fired. There's the irony in that situation. And if it wasn't for the fact that Dave was such a fucking legend and was just like, clearly something's going on here, dude, what's going on? Then potentially I would have allowed that toxic thought, I'm definitely going to get fired because my boss rolled his eyes at me, to manipulate my behaviour and actually then perpetuate, become the self-prophecy, manifest the very thing that I was scared of in the first place, which is not being very good at my job and being fired for it. It took me a really long time to work out this toxic thought syndrome. It took me a really long time. That wasn't enough evidence for me to be like, oh, hang on a minute, sometimes the thoughts that I have aren't real. The thoughts that I have are just catastrophizing thoughts. They're not actually based on evidence. They're fake news. I'm feeding myself fake news. I'm reading fake news and not questioning it. Took me years and years and years before I actually worked out that the thoughts that I have are constantly within my control. And now when I have a toxic thought syndrome moment, I call it a TTS, a moment. I have a thought and I it. Like I point my finger in my head and I'm like, I catch it. And I go, huh, that's a toxic thought. Is it true? And that's all I do. That's all I ask myself. I don't berate myself for having the toxic thought. I say to myself, huh, toxic thought syndrome, is it true? What evidence do I have for this thought? And is it true? Do I need to gather some more information first? It could be one of the many possibilities. The eye roll could have also meant, oh my God, I almost wet myself in that meeting. It went on for so long. The eye roll could have very well meant, what were you doing, Emily? Why were you, making such a fuss about this menu change? Maybe it did mean that. But the catastrophization on the other side of that, that is completely me allowing this toxic thought to gather up every single fear that I ever had, every belief that I have that I might not be good enough, every worry I have about not having enough money or being in scarcity, and completely and totally and utterly created a future for myself where I wasn't very good at my job and I got fired. And then the irony being, the next day woke up and wasn't very good at my job. This I see in my clients, I see in potential clients, I see it in myself, hashtag unashamedly human, this fake news that we feed ourselves. And so I invite you today just to take a second and ask yourself, is this true? The story that I am telling myself, the way that my mother-in-law looked at me yesterday, the way that my partner spoke to me yesterday, the little snort that my boss gave me yesterday, and I have made it all about me because here I am at the centre of my universe thinking that every single fucking thing is about me, because hashtag unashamedly human, we are egotistical creatures by nature. We forget that there are 7.7 billion other people in this world. Obviously, everything is always about me. And so is it true? You know, your friend not smiling at you the other day, is it because your friend is purposefully thinking, I'm not going to smile at her today? Or is it maybe that your friend has got other shit going on? You know, what are you telling yourself? What fake news are you telling yourself? And then what action are you taking based on false evidence, based on a story, based on an imagining? And if you could change that, what different action would you take? And therefore, what different results would you manifest for yourself?
If you're anything like me, your first thought in the morning is often one of, oh, holy fuck. We wake up instantly feeling like we're in lack. Not enough sleep, not enough time, not enough. We scroll through social media and feel not enough. We think about our day ahead and feel underprepared, uninspired, or overwhelmed. What if we're not enough? Before we're even out of bed, our mind is telling us all sorts of crazy stories, and these stories set the precedent for our day and have a huge effect on our results. Imagine if you could start your day with a different thought. Imagine waking up to a daily reminder of the greatness that lies within you. Imagine having your own personal and funny cheerleader inspiring you every single day. Imagine your first waking thought being one of abundance and purpose. Well, imagine no longer, my friend, because now you can Wake Up With M. Wake Up With M is a text message service for women who are ready to wake up to their power, purpose, and passion. A daily motivational message from me personally to get you smiling into your day and vibing high from the moment you wake up, and all for less than the price of a couple of lattes a month. And even better, you get the first month completely for free. Because, well, you know, you might actually find it really annoying to have a daily reminder that you're amazing and capable and awesome. Head to emilychadbourne.com/wakeup or check out the link in the show notes below.
Good morning, you're awesome! So, toxic thought syndrome. Everyone suffers from it, I believe, to some extent, but just catch it. There it is. There's that toxic thought. There's that me telling me a certain story. Is that story true? What blanks am I filling in? What am I presuming? Where do I not have evidence and I'm making evidence up? What can I look for in terms of finding different evidence? Do I need to be telling myself a different story? And how am I taking action based on what might be a massive fucking fake bit of news that I'm telling myself? So just bringing conscious awareness to that. And following on from that, I just want to talk about the sort of second half of the sort of danger of fake news and the way that we feed ourselves fake news. And that is something that I call the second thought theory, because when I first started out really raising my level of insightfulness, which is all personal development is, it's just learning more about how we operate, why we think certain things, why we feel certain things, why we act in certain ways, and then observing the physical manifestation of this in our results. And if we want the physical manifestation of our results to change, we then need to work back. Okay, so these are my results. What action am I taking to create these results? What feeling is behind the action? What thinking is behind that feeling? Okay, now what do I need to do to change the thinking? When I first started out learning about personal development and really leveling up in terms of my insightfulness, I found myself berating myself for having certain thoughts of being like, oh my God, well, that I shouldn't be thinking like that. I should be thinking like this. I'll be really fucking honest, because where's the point being anything else? Even now, I sometimes catch myself just being like, oh, I'm a mindset coach. I shouldn't be thinking like this. And then I also have to remind myself that first and foremost, I'm a human, and an unashamedly human at that. And actually, do you know what? There is so much positivity in this world. There's so much light. There's so much love. There's so much joy. There's so much abundance. But because of the law of polarity, I understand that life itself is one big massive fucking paradox. There has to be the opposite of that. There is never hot without cold. There is never north without south. There's never right without left. There's never positivity without negativity. And the reality of the situation is the world's fucking full of twats. Really annoying people, really annoying situations, really annoying everything, right? It's just the truth. Let's not pretend like that's not true. Part of catching those negative thoughts isn't about berating yourself for having those negative thoughts, because all you're doing is putting yourself in shame for having the thought, which is completely counterproductive. It's just about going, oh, okay, my first thought there wasn't a particularly positive one. Maybe it was a bit negative. Maybe it was unresourceful. Maybe it wasn't true. Maybe it was a bit of fake news. I've just fed myself. Maybe it was a bullshit story. Maybe it was a bit reactionary. That was my first thought. That was my initial reaction to that situation. All good. I'm not going to berate myself for that. I'm not going to hate on myself for that. I'm not going to ridicule myself for that. I'm not even going to feel shame for that. I'm just going to observe it without judgment. Objectively, I'm going to observe it. Huh, interesting. That was my first thought. I can't always control my first thought. And I've been doing this solidly for 4 years, every single day. Journaling, meditating, asking myself really empowering questions, reading personal development books, listening to YouTube videos, investing hundreds of thousands of dollars in courses and mentors and coaches. I do it every day. I live it, I breathe it, I am it. And even now, I have days where I'm like, that fucking dickhead cut me up. What, that man woke up this morning and he purposefully said to himself, I'm going to drive my car and find somebody I've never met before called Emily Chadbourne, and I'm purposely going to cut her up because I hate her. sometimes I have that feeling. And then instead of being like, oh God, I shouldn't be angry that the driver cut me up and I've got to remember that I'm one of 7.7 billion people in the world and not everything's about me. And oh my God, hang on. There's no point doing that. It's so counterproductive. All I do is I go, huh, that's interesting. That's interesting that I had that reaction. What can I do with my second thought? Can't do anything about the fact that my first thought was a negative one or an angry one or an annoyed one. But I always have control over my second thought. Can't always control my first thought. My first thought is often one of catastrophe. My first one is often fear-based. My first one sometimes comes from a scarcity mindset and not an abundance one. And to begin with, you will find that most of your first thoughts, your reactionary thoughts, your go-to thoughts, your fake news, your fake stories, your worry, your doubt, your fear will be those thoughts of like scarcity and lack and fear. And that's cool. All good, man. It's the way you've been programmed. If you've been thinking negatively for the last 30 years, listening to this podcast isn't going to fucking change your world. What it is going to do is it's going to give you the power to change your second thought. You go, okay, first thought, done. Had it, can't do anything about it. Interesting, objective, not going to judge myself for it. The second thought I can always change. And sometimes that is just like using powerful, powerful techniques, which are so simple and so free and so available to anybody, which is at the end of the day, you sit down with a pen and a paper and you go, these are the thoughts I had today. Are they real? Are they true? Are they fake news? Are they toxic? What story am I telling myself? What action am I, and am I taking, don't know what happened there, completely failed to speak words. What action am I taking as a result of this fake news? What was my first thought in this particular circumstance? What was my first reaction? What was my go-to feeling? What was my go-to thought? What was my go-to thought? That's what I'm trying to say. And then you say to yourself, okay, well, what can my second thought be? So instead of that man purposefully cut me up, it could be, oh, that man is probably sitting in his car right now going, oh my God, I cut that chick up. I hope she's okay. I hope she doesn't hate me. And maybe he's not, but maybe that's none of my business. You know, quite often my first thought is one of scarcity and lack and fear. And I can always control the second one. So when a parking fine comes through, my first thought is, I can't afford to pay this. This is terrible. And my second thought is, well, I have to take full responsibility for the fact that I parked in a place where I wasn't meant to park. And actually, how lucky that I live in a structured, organised society where cars aren't just piled absolutely everywhere and I do have the money to pay this fine. How grateful can I be to the abundance of money that it is here so that I can actually pay the $60 fine? That is my second thought, even if my first thought is one of scarcity and lack and annoyance. You can always control your second thought. And what you will find is that over time, because of neuroplasticity, because we can change the way that we think, we can completely and totally and utterly revolutionize the way that we are conditioned or have been conditioned up to a certain point to think, to believe, to feel, to experience, to act, therefore to manifest. Over time, what you will find is that your thinking shifts, and it does take time and it does take perseverance and it does take continual work. I'm not going to lie about that. But over time, those second thoughts become a bit more primary. They become your initial reaction. Instead of constantly thinking that the world's out to get you, slowly but surely over time, because you're controlling your second thought, that second thought becomes your primary thought. Oh, what if that person wasn't out to get me? What if that person is just wrapped up in their own shit? What if they've got their own stuff going on? What if I'm not all of the universe? What if the entire universe isn't bowing down to what I think should be happening, when I think it should be happening, the way I think it should be happening, in the tone I want it to happen in the timing I want it to happen in? Maybe, just maybe, I don't have full control of the 7.7 billion other people on this planet, and that's okay. So I trust that that has been useful. Some of the ways that I catch those toxic thought syndrome moments or the moments, and some of the ways that I control my second thoughts are by just, number one, the primary way is bringing conscious awareness to it. Asking yourself that really powerful question, is this true? Is this a story I'm telling myself? Is this a resourceful story? Has this come from fear? Has this come from scarcity? If I thought about it a different way, if I took on a different perspective, how would I feel differently? Therefore, how would I act differently? Therefore, what different results could I manifest for myself? Making sure that you avoid the shame spiral around your thoughts. It's cool, man. Like, how you're thinking is how you're thinking. It's social conditioning. And anyone else who was born into the life you were born into, with the parents you had, with the upbringing you had, with the schooling that you had, with the education system that you had, with the social conditioning that you had, the memories you've had, the beliefs that you have, would be acting and thinking and feeling and manifesting the same way that you're feeling, acting, thinking and manifesting right now. So, like, there's no judgment. Don't judge yourself. Just be objective. If I could control my second thought, what different way can I think about this so that I can feel differently, act differently, and therefore create a different result for myself? Feedback to yourself. Spend quiet time with yourself. It doesn't need to be like a full 20-minute fucking meditation every single day, but like, give yourself every day, wherever you can, whenever you can, however you can, that moment of reflection. And for some people, it's on the fly. They're very good at, I'm getting much better now at doing it on the fly. But to begin with, I had to like portion out a bit of my day to sit down with a pen and a paper and a journal and go, this is what I've thought today. These are the stories I've heard myself tell today. Is this real? And do I need to think about this slightly differently? And then come at this with a huge amount of love and compassion to yourself. You know, I think there's a real danger with being an adult that we think that because we're an adult, we should have all our shit sorted, or we should know everything that we're ever going to know. And yes, we might take on a few skills. Maybe I'll learn some pottery, or maybe I'll learn how to knit, or maybe finally one day I will learn how to cook for myself. Those are skills that we can accumulate. But we forget that actually our neurology is such that we can change the way that we think whenever we want to. And I consider that my soul is very young. And so when I feed back to myself, when I ask myself these questions, you know, is this true? Is this resourceful? Is this fear talking? Is this real? And how else could it be if I wanted it to be a different way? When I ask myself those questions, I don't do it from a place of, oh, Em, you're such an idiot. I do it from a place of love and compassion, like I'm nurturing a small child. My soul is tiny. My soul is trying to figure it out. It's like a two-year-old, and sometimes it has tantrums, and sometimes it thinks that the world is the most joyous place, and as much as possible I allow it to come from a place of curiosity and wonder and love and compassion. I have to give my soul love and compassion. I happen to be 38 years biologically, being on this planet for that long, and that's great, but that doesn't mean that my soul is a grown-up. My soul is learning and it's evolving, and I'm allowed to get it wrong. Or I'm allowed to try things and then not like the result that it brings, and so try it a different way. That's probably a better way of saying that. I don't like using the word right or wrong. So I trust that that has helped. I invite you to take a little bit more charge of your thoughts and to ask yourself that very powerful question, is this true? What am I making up here? What am I presuming here? Because fake news, as we can see in the political, economical, and social world around us right now, is a dangerous, dangerous thing. So if you can start with asking yourself, am I feeding myself fake news here? Maybe we will get better as a society and as a whole, asking ourselves, well, what fake news am I being fed through the internet, or, you know, through the weird and wacky and wonderful world of humanity? And, you know, is this true? And do I need to do a little bit more research? Do I need to gather a bit more evidence? Do I need to look at this a different way? Is this me coming from a place of fear? Is this me coming from a place of resistance? And actually, maybe I need to go forth and give myself a little bit of a different perspective. And then maybe, just maybe, if everyone went off and did that, the world would be a more kind and compassionate place in general. So I think that's worth working for. It starts with self. Always starts with self. All right, people, thank you very much for listening. And please make sure that you are rating and reviewing this podcast on iTunes. You can also listen to it on Spotify. You can find it on my website, emilychadbourne.com. Hear me. Please use the hashtag unashamedlyhuman. Share your unashamedly human moments with me so I can shout them out. And please make sure that you're sharing with your friends. If you have loved this episode, then please share the shit out of it. I would really appreciate it.